Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this came I into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, dear sisters and faithful, the good God, Christ the King, he calls to us, each and every one of us, and asks us to join him in his heavenly kingdom. It's not forced upon us, but rather it's laid out for us, that pathway to heaven. It's shown to us that we may follow it. And oftentimes it's that realization in a single moment, a simple act of humility and cooperation with grace that gets us started on that direction. Such was the case of the young Gabriel Garcia Moreno. He was born in Ecuador, a bright young lad, and was sent off to study at university in Paris. He had been raised his whole childhood with the faith, but as too oftentimes happened, as he went away and was on his own, he fell away from the practice of the faith. And in doing so, he began slowly to cool in any kind of prayer life. He never gave up on knowing that it was the truth. He never gave up on even defending the faith as he oftentimes would. He just didn't show up to Mass. And as the time would go by, at times in Paris, he would have the opportunity to defend the faith to some of his own classmates. And he would explain things so eloquently. Until one day, as he was doing this, there was a particular argument he was in with a couple of peers as they walked around the Luxembourg Gardens in Paris. And a priest, who happened to be one of his professors, was taking his own stroll in the garden and overheard the conversation that they had. When it was finished, he took Garcia Moreno aside and he had a little talk with him. He asked him one simple thing. He stated, "You speak so very well, yet when was the last time that you went to the sacraments?" This little correction was all that it took. Garcia Moreno, he could have dismissed it offhand. He could have postponed an answer. He could have said something simple like, "Oh, it's been a little while and I'll get back soon enough." But he didn't. He took what was said to him to heart. He thought for a moment, and hanging his head, he replied to the good priest, "Your point may appear excellent today, but I give you my word, tomorrow it will be worthless." And he went home, and he made a full examination of his conscience. He thought of every sin that he had committed through those years in which he was away from the sacraments. He couldn't even wait till the next morning. He went straight away that evening to the priest's house, knocked on his door, came in, asked to confess, made full good confession through his tears. The next morning early, he was there in the front pew attending Mass and receiving a good Holy Communion. He vowed to himself from that day forward he would never lapse in the practice of the faith ever again. That one moment, it set him upon a path to serve his king, a path that at times required him to sacrifice during his life. He was a man of smarts and of means and abilities, and yet again and again, he chose to do the hard thing. He could have had a very quiet life at home, but he sacrificed this as he was called for his abilities to become a general of the army, and then eventually, twice over, against his will, to become president of Ecuador. He would sacrifice his own safety for the sake of his country, in order to fight battle after battle to drive out the Freemasons who kept trying to seize power in that land. He would sacrifice his time, going not only to daily Mass, but very often, even as president, traveling out into the country, meeting with the simple poor people who were oftentimes illiterate, and sitting down with them at their own table, pulling out the catechism book, teaching them the catechism himself, kneeling down with them and praying the rosary to ensure that he instilled that value of prayer with his own people. He sacrificed his money, oftentimes giving up his entire presidential salary for the work of charity throughout his land. And great labors he sacrificed as well for his people. He took great care to ensure that the religious institutions were brought back into the country of Ecuador so that they may convert more souls. He sent particularly the Jesuits out into the far off lands of the jungle, the Amazon, to preach and to convert the pagan natives who were out there. And fear not, there was no Pachamama there for him to kneel down to. No, only the one true God. He did all of this, and as he did so, the people loved him more and more, and his enemies became more embittered against him. It all led up to one giant triumph in the end. His great success, as he stood beside the bishop and together they consecrated the entire country of Ecuador to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But this great triumph would also call him to his greatest sacrifice, because with that consecration, the lodge had had enough. They ordered him to die, and they set in motion plans to kill him. Until one day, Garcia Moreno was kneeling in adoration in the cathedral church while men waited in ambush for him outside. And they waited, and they could wait no longer. They sent one man in, came up to the president, and told him, "Mr. President, there's very urgent business that you need to attend to right away." Garcia Moreno made his double genuflection and walked out the church. And there, as he came upon the steps to the presidential palace and stood there, the men came out from behind the pillars and they stood before him holding weapons. And he looked at them and bravely proclaimed before them, "Dios no muere," God does not die. And they set upon him, stabbing and shooting him as he lay upon the floor. The people, hearing the commotion, came out and picked up the wounded president. They carried him into the church. They laid him at the feet of the statue of Our Lady. He received the last sacraments, and then he died. It was August 6th, the Feast of the Transfiguration, and a First Friday, the day that was dedicated to the Sacred Heart, to which he had consecrated his entire country just a little time beforehand. And in a little while, after Mass is completed, we will consecrate ourselves to the same Sacred Heart, belonging to the same King whom we exalt on high in the monstrance all throughout this 40 hours. It's a simple moment in time, a chance for us to humble ourselves before our divine King and to think to ourselves, what do these words that I say mean? Are they merely words, or do I take them to heart? Do I head down that path to follow my King? It's a path sometimes dotted with sacrifices, and we must ask ourselves, am I ready? Now, some of you, with that question, probably say, "Yes, Father, I am ready. I'm ready to sacrifice, even in sacrifice my own life. I would die for the sake of my Lord." And that's great. But the real question is, what of today's sacrifice? Are you willing to do that one? Perhaps the sacrifice of returning and making a holy hour throughout the afternoon, or coming to our closing ceremonies. And what of tomorrow's sacrifice? The act of charity practiced when it's most hard. The rosary said as a family when you're tired. The temptation of the day avoided. Are you ready to accept that one as well? Because in reality, what we see as a pathway is also a series of points, a series of opportunities to choose again and again to live those words that we say in our consecration today, to serve Christ our King. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.